Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name again this morning. Enjoyed the Sunday school hour and service thus far, and trust that we can continue to find encouragement for our walk of life. How many of you have ever read a very interesting book and you were partway through the book and you were just longing to know what the conclusion would be, to the extent that you cheated? And you turned the last few pages of the book and read what the conclusion of the story was. How many of you have lived through circumstances of life that as the circumstances were unfolding in a given experience or event, you began to wonder, where is this going to all end up? What's the outcome of this going to be? Message this morning, we give him the title, The Conclusion of the Whole Matter. We find that in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you want to turn with me to that book. Sticking back there in the middle of the Old Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Believed to have been written by Solomon, a wise man who wrote the book of Proverbs. As you read the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, very enjoyable books to read. I love to read them over and over. For the wisdom that we can find in them, practical wisdom for daily living and decisions of life. But we have the writer here musing of life, meditating on life, and raising the question, as he reflects on life as it unfolds and life as it comes and goes for people, and he finally raises the question, what is the conclusion of the whole matter? Chapter 12 is where our text verse is, in verse 13, where it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I would like to go back to the first chapter of this book and read a few verses to try to capture some of the thoughts that were going through his mind as he reflected, as he thought of varying circumstances of life, stages of life, and then finally breaks out with this question. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, I'll begin at verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and it goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. We'll just continue reading there. We could keep on, but we'll just continue reading. Can we kind of follow the thought? of the writer as he thinks of people are born, people pass on. The sun rises, the sun sets. The rivers flow into the ocean, into the sea, yet the sea doesn't run over, it doesn't get full. And he just muses over these facts of life. And he finally concludes, what's it all about? What's the conclusion? And that's what we have where he concludes in chapter 12. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God and keep his commandments. I'd like to think this morning basically about fearing God and the importance of fearing God. That was his conclusion, that man ought to fear God. That's the first commandment that we have here. To fear is to reverence or to revere. To revere means to regard with deep respect, love, and awe. Psalm 111, verse 9 says, "Holy and reverend is his name," speaking of God. God alone is worthy of our reverence and our awe, a feeling or attitude of deep respect, love, and awe for something sacred as for God. And shouldn't a knowledge of God bring that response out of each of our hearts and from each of our lives? You know, the more we come to know God, the more fully we know him, understand him, the more we'll reverence and awe his high and holy name and who he is, and then in turn give him his place in our lives. But it begins with a fear of God. So this morning, I would like us to spend a little time thinking about what the fear of God produces in our lives. What the fear of God produces in our lives. But before we go into that, just a few verses in relation to fear, the fear of God. Psalm 4 and verse 4 says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." The psalmist there is calling on us to stand back, as it were, and look up to God and view God and stand before him in awe and wonder and amazement. Now, you've often heard it said when people say, "That's awesome." Maybe they see a new vehicle. Maybe they see a house, maybe they see a whatever it might be, and they say, "That's awesome." Is it? It might be great to look upon and impressive, but there is really only one awesome person, and that is God. We need to stand in awe of God. Stand in awe of him. Psalm 89 and verse 7, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." The Lord is in his holy temple, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. "But the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him." We gather here this morning, we claim the presence of God here in this place. There's a sense in which we stand or sit here in awe of God again this morning, of his majesty and his greatness, and it causes us to fear him and tremble before him. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." These various verses and many more that we could turn to that call us to a fear of God. You know, men can do all kinds of things to us and bring about fear and worry. But we ought to, this morning, fear God. So may we grow in our understanding of God, who he is. And again, the more fully we understand who he is, the more fully we understand ourselves and how to respond to him and be what he would have us to be. Now turning our attention to what the fear of God will produce in our heart, as we noticed in our text verse, as the writer of Ecclesiastes reflected on the circumstances of life, coming into life, living our lives, and finally passing from this life, his conclusion is that we should fear God. Fear God. And we would like to be reminded this morning that if we would just fear God and live out that fear in our lives, life will be okay. And life will have a good conclusion if we will fear God. First of all, this morning, one who fears God, and our response to him, the fear of God gives life. The fear of God gives life. We have that in the book of Proverbs, those very words, Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, I believe it's verse 23. 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. But he that hath it shall be satisfied, he shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Jesus is life. He brings life to man. He wants to bring life to all mankind. But the fear of God, it says there, tendeth to life. A couple other verses we'll notice on this, in relation to this. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the path thereof there is no death. To walk the path of righteousness, to walk the path of fear before God is the way of life. Luke chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto them, thou hast answered these right, this do, and thou shalt live. A love for God, a following wholly after him, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we will notice that in just a bit. The two and first and the greatest commandments, the first and the second commandments, are given here in these verses. Do these things, and thou shalt live. Follow the teachings of Jesus. So the fear of God brings life. Secondly, this morning, the fear of God brings wisdom. Job 28, verse 28. Backing up just a little bit further in the Old Testament. Job 28 and verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's to God that we go to find wisdom and instruction for life. James teaches us, James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And from where will he receive that wisdom? It comes from God. The God of wisdom wants to bestow that wisdom on his children, on those who seek him to find that wisdom. And oh, how we need wisdom and understanding and instruction for life. The perplexities of life, the growing perplexities of life, the world in which we live as the people of God, we will forever and always has been the case, but it seems even more, in greater degrees, we need wisdom to know how to relate to the circumstances of life. But in home life, young parents, all of us, we need the wisdom of God. We need wisdom for life's choices. Youth and children, turn to God for wisdom. Seek his face. Find wisdom in him. The fear of God brings wisdom. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Daniel found wisdom with God to answer the king's questions, the king's perplexities. Romans chapter 11, 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And to delve into those riches and that wisdom, you know, we can turn to man's philosophy and we can read many books, but to turn to God is the source of all wisdom this morning for the decisions and direction for our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, "That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise." They're able to give you wisdom and instruction for life unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 3 verse 13 gives us this encouragement: "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Verse 14, "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." The fear of God is wisdom. The fear of God, to truly have the fear of God in our hearts, causes us and aids us to walk with God in daily experience. God becomes a part of our life, and we walk close with him, just as we walk close with a friend. If you're walking with a friend, you're confiding in a friend, and you're facing a question in life, a perplexing challenge in life, it's very easy to turn to your friend and say, "You know, I'm going through this experience. Do you have any advice for me?" And that's just how it is with God. A person who fears God and walks with God turns to him for wisdom, turns to God's word for wisdom, and say, "You know, God, how would you have me to relate to this circumstance?" And God promises to give that wisdom. You know, we can ask a friend, we can ask a close friend for their input and their advice, and they might sometimes say, "You know what? I'm not sure what to say." But God, a God of wisdom, has an answer for us. Maybe not always immediately, but we believe through searching the scriptures and continuing to seek his face, God will have an answer. God will have direction for us. In the third place this morning, what the fear of God will produce in our lives, the fear of God will produce holiness. Holy living. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7. And verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Believe a true fear of God, understanding who God is in his holiness, in his perfection, in his purity, and want to walk in his ways and in his presence, walk side by side with him, will be an aid in helping us to walk a life of holiness. First of all, obviously, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, cleansed from the guilt of sin and the burden of sin, but then to walk that life of holiness before him. We need to fear him and walk in holiness before him. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11. "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Oh, that we would grow in our understanding, and I believe we do that through reading of the scriptures and growing our understanding of who God is and of his holiness, and that it would be able to flow from our hearts and our tongues, just like it did from the writer here in Exodus. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness? We can't comprehend the holiness and the purity of God this morning to a full degree. But as we again read the scriptures and understand his hatred for sin and wickedness and evil, we read about it back in the book of Genesis. We are told, I believe it's in chapter 6, I believe it's somewhere around there, where it says that God looked down on the wickedness of man, and he saw the evil of mankind, and it repented him that he had made man upon the earth. It repented him that he had made man. That's how disappointed he was in the path that man was taking. And what was it that made him so heartbroken over the path that man was taking? It was his holiness and the intention that he had that man would live in holiness. Psalm 99 and verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. We have a holy God, and I believe a fear of him will help us to walk in holiness. Leviticus 11:45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Walking in holiness. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The call to holy living, the fear of God will produce holy living. Let us fear him and walk before him in holiness. Fourth observation this morning, what the fear of God will produce in our lives. The fear of God causes one to hate evil. Going back into the book of Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The question I ask this morning is, do you hate evil? How much do we hate evil? Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what the fear of the Lord will do in your and my life. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride. The fear of the Lord is to hate arrogancy. The fear of the Lord is to hate the evil way. The fear of the Lord is to hate the froward mouth. And then he finally concludes, these things do I hate. I believe the fear of God this morning will help us and aid us to hate the things that God hates. And love the things that God loves. A fear of God and a walking close with him should produce that and will produce that in our lives. Back just a couple chapters, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, and I believe God-fearing people will hate as well. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. That is a definition or categories of things that God hates, and I believe God-fearing people hate those ways as well and turn from them. May we grow in our fear of God, that we might walk perfectly before him. Fifth point this morning, what the fear of God produces in our lives. The fear of God produces great confidence. Great confidence, Proverbs 14:26. To walk with God gives confidence. To walk in the fear of God brings confidence. Proverbs 14, verse 26 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. I like that. To walk in the fear of God is to have strong confidence. Again, life has its perplexities. It has its challenges and its questions. But to walk in the fear of God, to be walking daily with God, brings a strong confidence, a security. It brings a refuge. I want that for my life. I'm sure you do too. You want it for your life. We find that in the fear of God, walking in the fear of God this morning. May we faithfully walk in fear of him. The sixth point this morning, kind of going back to our text verse, is what the fear of God produces in our life is walking in the commandments of God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. You want to walk in confidence. You want to walk in joy and peace and experience God's blessing. Walking in fear means to walk in his commandments. We have those familiar words in Matthew chapter 22, reminding us of what those commandments are. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. I'll start at verse 34 of chapter 22 in Matthew. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Two great commandments, simply put, is that we first of all should love the Lord our God with all our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. I believe a fear of God, a true fear of God, will help us, will cause us to do just that. To love him first. Have no other gods before him. Walking with him in that kind of love. And secondly, as we could go and turn to the book of 1 John and read that he who loved God loves his brother also. We have a love relationship, an open relationship, a love relationship with our fellow man. And so, as we with the writer of Ecclesiastes this morning reflect on life, the giving of life, the taking of life, the blowing of the wind, the rising of the sun, the setting of the same, the beginning of your life, the continuation of your life, and finally the conclusion of your life. What is it all about? How should we conclude or relate to it all? Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is what is important for man, he goes on to say. It's our whole duty, our whole responsibility. It's the burden of life. It's to fear God and keep his commandments. And let's just notice in conclusion this morning, verse 14, just briefly. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Finally, one day, we will need to give an account of our life to this God that we are called to fear. And the level of fear, of the fear of God that we've had in our hearts as we lived our life, will make a difference on Judgment Day. It really will. We will need to give an account to God for every word with every secret thing. I'm good with that, are you? I believe the child of God is good with that, with every secret thing. There may be any hidden sin, any secret part of our lives, but when we truly fear God, it's all open before him, knowing that someday it will conclude and we will need to give an answer for everything, every word and every secret thing of our lives. So may we walk before him in fear this morning. Ponder the conclusion of the writer here, and let's conclude with him. Let us fear God and keep his commandments, that it might be well with us and that we can experience his blessing. May God bless you. Shall we kneel for prayer?